And apparently we've decided the way to invite and welcome our guest from New Hampshire in is to play some Georgia country music for him. Grant, I'm assuming you've probably heard something like whatever that is playing in the background before. It's not really what we listen to in Atlanta.
I used to work at a country station, so, you know.
On purpose?
Yeah, well, I was the news guy.
There you go.
I wasn't the one picking the Garth Brooks album.
Exactly. If whatever makes you sleep at night, man, that's good. For our audience that's listening, let me welcome in. This is Grant Bossy. He's the editorial page editor of the Manchester Union Leader. I believe it's fair to say that is the largest and most influential paper in the Granite State. And you're down there on the ground floor and have been watching this entire race unfold. So just tell us a little about what makes the First in the Nation unique before we get into the actual race. But, you know, from a guy that's on the ground, give us the New Hampshire pitch of why you should be first.
Well, we're first because we take it very seriously. We have massive voter participation rates. Iowa's about three times our size population-wise. But we're going to have more people voting on Tuesday than participated in the Iowa caucuses. So we get more people voting in the primary than sometimes we get in the general election. We take it very seriously. We kick the tires on the candidates. We make them work for it. And we think we make them better candidates and better prepared to be president by having to go out and face voters leading up to a very important election on Tuesday.
And that kind of, I guess, leads into a good setup for kind of really where I want to go. Because your guys participate at the level they do, it's not uncommon at all for a voter in New Hampshire to have actually met each one of these candidates 5, 6, 7 times to make up their mind.
Some people go out to a lot of the events. It's kind of a myth that, like, every voter has shaken hands with everybody that's been president. Most voters won't have actually met the candidate they're voting for, but a lot do, and we expect them to work for it. And we follow it in the newspaper and on TV and on the radio and over Facebook. And, thousands and thousands of people do go out and see these people in person. And it's the fact that they've got to stay there and they've got to take tough questions. They can't just, you know, if somebody is competing in Georgia, and let's face it, Georgia is really not much of a swing state, so you'll be lucky to get the candidates at all. But if you do, it'll be somewhere 5 minutes away from the airport. They'll have a big rally. They'll stand in front of a bunch of waving flags.
We're going to have to call foul on you.
Yes, absolutely.
You have not heard about the SEC primary, which is something that certain politicians down here are. But we're doing better this cycle,
You're actually going to get them. It'll be great.
Yeah, it's been a little bit different this time, where we actually have been seeing them in some places that aren't immediately near Peachtree DeKalb Airport or Hartsfield. And they've gotten down in even the southern corners of the state. So we've gotten a little taste of what you're describing. But getting back, I guess, what's really going on this week is this is the transition between Iowa and New Hampshire. And as someone that watches from afar, one of the things that I've always noted is this is kind of it's a transition week because polls go to reality and New Hampshire voters don't always stick with what the polls were 3 weeks ago by the time they get there, because Iowa sends a little bit of a signal and then people get serious about figuring out who it is they're really supporting is who they might have been telling pollsters they've supported, and it wasn't that they were necessarily lying to the pollsters, it's just they hadn't really made up their mind yet. Is that fair to say there's a lot of people really making up their minds right now as we speak?
Yeah, I think about half the voters will make up their mind in that last week, and some people won't have an idea until, you know, they stop and get their coffee in the morning and go to the polls, and they'll start, you know, they'll think back on who they saw and what was going on over the weekend. Saturday's debate in Manchester is going to be huge. It's going to be the last look on the Republican side. We had the debate on the Democratic side, which we fought for. That was actually our idea, to have one more New Hampshire debate between the Democratic candidates. And people will make up their mind and go to the polls, and we tend to shock some people. So, you know, at this point, just based on polling, it would be a shock if Donald Trump does anything but run away with the New Hampshire primary, but that's what we're here for. We're here to surprise people.
And based on what you're seeing, the momentum right now is that the Trump balloon is deflating a little bit, even in New Hampshire, and who's making up the ground right now, would you say?
Well, Marco Rubio's doing pretty well. Ted Cruz had his Iowa bump, but he's been spending all week talking about, Ben Carson and whether he was spreading rumors that he was dropping out. And then you've got the three governors that are still in the race, Chris Christie, who we endorsed, Jeb Bush and John Kasich. They've all run the traditional New Hampshire on-the-ground grassroots campaign that doesn't pay off until the end. And so they're hoping that they're going to take all that time and energy they've invested in meeting voters over the last 6 months, and that that's going to show up on Tuesday.
And when you mention the governors, specifically Christy Kasich and Jeb, how many tickets are there out of New Hampshire? Normally, I think there's said to be two or three. Do you think there's four this year because Rubio kind of has momentum? Is it Rubio and a governor, or do the, you know, is it really kind of down at this point to, you know, I guess what I'm saying is if Rubio is able to pass the governors, is he the only one that makes it out, or does a governor still come out?
I think there's room for a governor to outperform the field and get a little distance from themselves and make a case. I think, you know, Ted Cruz is moving on. He's already looking past New Hampshire. Winning Iowa got him a bye. Donald Trump, the regular rules don't apply to him, and he's doing well in the national polling. So even if he loses, it would be a huge collapse, and it would be really bad news for him, but he'd move on. So you've got Marco Rubio fighting to build on that third-place finish. If he slips back from third, then he's in trouble. And, yeah, if any of the governors can place in the top three in New Hampshire, then they can make a really strong case that they can move on. So, yeah, I think you're probably going to see four candidates, or Carly Fiorina, if she happens to shock everybody. Getting left off the debate stage is ridiculous for Carly.
It's arachnophobia. They didn't want eight people because fear of spiders, so they can only do seven,
apparently.
I think.
Apparently, podiums are very expensive. Podia are very expensive, and that eighth one is just, you don't get a discount deal.
Live free or die.
Yeah. I think four candidates move on to South Carolina.
I want to ask very specifically, because you've seen something that the rest of us haven't seen, which is what did Right to Rise do with $100 million of super PAC money that apparently was all spent in your area? And Jeb,
well,
I mean, Jeb is begging people
Iowa
to clap for him right now. So,
yeah,
I mean, really, what has been the effect of this money's milk, mother's milk of politics? I think Jeb is the Phil Graham candidate right now, where he blew a lot of cash and no one knows why.
Right to Rise has burnt so much money over the last 3 months, they're contributing to global warming. It's embarrassing how badly they are squandering $110 million. Not Governor Bush's fault, by the way. He was a good governor in Florida. He was a leader on school choice. He was good on taxes and spending. He has a really strong record to run on, and it would be nice if the super PAC backing him would let people know about it. Instead, yeah, they're lighting money on fire after a 10% commission. I got this glossy flyer in the mail where, you know, you move it, and it's like this 3D image of Marco Rubio being a weather vane. I mean, how much did that cost? It's amazing how much money they are just pouring down the drain. It reminds me of Brewster's Millions. I think if Mike Murphy can spend $110 million, he'll inherit $30 billion or something.
On the Democratic side, I think because Sanders is from the neighboring state next door, is there anything we should really be looking at unusual going on in New Hampshire on the Democratic side?
Well, Bernie Sanders is way ahead. The Clinton people are talking about making it close. They're not talking about winning. So that means they don't think they're going to win, but they're fighting it. And if you saw the debate last night, she is running hard to the left to compete with Bernie Sanders for that progressive vote. Instead of saying, wow, Bernie, you're way out there and you're unelectable and you're a socialist, Clinton is fighting to be a progressive too. That's going to make it, let's say she wins the nomination, it's going to make it really hard for her to tack back to the center. So she's just trying to keep the score within a couple of touchdowns in New Hampshire at this point.
Okay. Well, do you do predictions, Grant? Is it fair to ask you what you think is going to happen? Or I guess what do you want to tell us of what you think is going to happen?
Well, on the Republican side, anything less than a clear Trump win would be an historic collapse. He's just been out ahead too much. He's gotten too much national exposure. So the battle for which candidates get knocked out is really how New Hampshire is going to be important this time around. We could shock people, and somebody could knock off Donald Trump, and actual voters could have a say instead of pollsters. That'd be refreshing. And on the Democratic side, yeah, anything less than a Sanders win at this point would be a huge collapse for him. So, yeah, you're looking to see if we can surprise some people on Tuesday.
Well, I'm going to go back in our closing and first thank you for being with us. But what you just said, going back to New Hampshire voters are the ones that take it seriously and take pride in it. Go let the voters speak instead of the national media and pollsters, because I'm frankly getting tired of listening to a reality show TV promoter windbag speak for my party when he's doesn't really carry any of the values or any of the positions that the party does. So that's up to you. That is Grant Bossy. He is the editorial page editor of the Manchester Union Leader. And if you want to follow along with what's going on in New Hampshire from someone that has a front row seat, it's at Grant Bossy, B-O-S-S-E, on Twitter. More Georgia Paul Radio on The Sully Show, WGST.